me ask you a question. Remember the other interesting night we asked you if you knew what sin was?
You failed that one.
You failed that one.
But he's right in your face.
If he asks us tonight, we'll know.
We've been thinking about it since then.
I want to ask you something. And I want you to think about it before you answer it. And I don't want any of your previous activities to count in terms of whether or not you have done or not done. At this instant, do you believe there's a God? And why? See, there's a... Let me try to expand on that. I think most of you don't believe there is a God. You hope there is a God sometimes. And this is the core question of what you're about. And the difference between believing there is a God and hoping there is a God is the difference between twilight and bright sunlight, where there are no shadows. If you know there's a God, there's no shadow or turning. There's no shadows of the turning. It's clarity. If you hope there's a God, it's twilight, and there's shadows and confusion and movements. So I want you to think about it. God. God is the question. The answer is, do you believe that he exists, or do you hope that he exists, or do you not care? Obviously, you care, you wouldn't be here. So the differentiation is to hope that he exists, or to believe that he exists. Now, to believe that he exists means not the word that we, it's the word that means total dependence, total reliance, total trust, total assurance, complete knowledge is what all of that is entailed in belief. So, okay, maybe I believe a little bit. But I want you to think about it. Do you believe in God, or do you hope he's there? I want you to be honest. Forget all religious stuff. Gut level. Anybody want to go first, or shall I pick on you? Lee?
How do they know? I see you. Yeah, I believe there's a God.
How do you know?
I don't... It's never really occurred to me that there could be anything else. Well, that there would be any other way.
But how do you know?
Just times when I've seen things, or like being up in the mountains, or being with someone, and it... It just seems like it's impossible for something to have been arbitrarily created.
It's impossible
there could be something as perfect as the way the world was created chemically.
Okay. Let's say hope, and now let's redefine believe. There were three angels that visited Abraham before he gave them Passover, before Lot, Adam, and Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. The Talmud says that the three angels represented the three ways, the three arenas, or three types of thoughts that people have about God. The first one is, if you have thoughts about God, you got to believe he's there. So the first one is that God is creator. And in being creator, he is, you're wondering at the beauty, and you're convinced he's the creator. Because nothing, you know, through logic, through awe, through fear, he's creator. The second angel represented him, or the second incarnation is what they talk about, not angel. The second one represented God as Lord. That meant that God was Lord in that he was in control of everything. Now that's a major, so we have a departure from whether or not God exists, to hope God exists, to God exists as creator, to God exists as total and complete Lord, author of all things, Lord. Then the third level of those three incarnations was God as Logos, the Word made flesh in you. So let me modify the question. Is it believe God exists in one of those three manifestations, or is it hope God exists? I believe that you believe he was creator, but I'm not convinced that you believe he was Lord, and I'm sure you don't believe yet that he was Logos.
Well, yeah, definitely not Logos. Partly Lord.
Partly Lord. Okay.
I mean, there are times when that doesn't seem like it's in front of me. I mean, there are times when it's obvious that he's Lord.
Right.
And other times I just space it out.
Right. But have there been moments when you knew he was Logos?
No.
Okay. Which?
I would say yes to Creator, yes to Lord, and every once in a while, but I forget most of the time about the Logos.
Logo. Rick? You see, what God is interested in, what we're doing here is sort of an exercise. It's the idea that God doesn't really care what our words are. God cares in terms of how we respond to stimulus. That's what defines belief or revelation. Okay.
I'd say the first two, and occasionally.
Logos. Larry?
Hope God?
Yeah.
Probably most of the time just a creator, occasionally falling back to hope God.
Pete?
Most of the time a creator. And every once in a while, hope God.
Linda?
The creator, the Lord. Hope Logos.
Hope Logos.
Sorry. That's not Hope
Logos. Harry? See, the advantage in this is I know you all well enough to know whether you're hustling me or not.
Yeah, I'd rather hear what you have to say.
Can't get out of it then.
Well, I think I live my life almost all the time as if God is Lord. And more and more frequently as Logos. That's just started recently. But, I'm starting to. There's some things starting to happen in the area of God is Logos.
Farmer? You notice I didn't challenge any of you yet.
Can we change our votes right now?
Just came in when you're challenged.
Let's see who can top high some of the
Creator, Lord, and there have been enough periods of immobilization that quite often Logos is there.
All of the promises of God are predicated on an interesting word. And that is, the word is delight. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the promises. Or he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, delight, I don't want you to go running and screaming out of here. But delight connotates sexual intimacy.
Sexual what?
Intimacy.
With God?
What?
With God. If I'm going to delight myself, the word, I mean, it doesn't say intercourse, but it's that kind of intimacy, of delight in that person. You know how you feel when you've been in love or in heat or whatever. And there's a moment, those kinds of moments where there's a loss of consciousness of time, and there's a loss of consciousness of self, and you are in a position of being delighted in that other party. Okay. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, obviously, delight can only occur in one position there. Now, the question is, how do you get there from here? Only one way. Through confession and repentance. Not by learning about stars, not by learning about Bible, through confession and repentance. But God says this interesting, fascinating thing. He said, in John, He said, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. If you say you delight yourself in God and don't delight yourself in the brethren, you're a liar. Do you understand? I've never talked about this before.
So delight yourself in the brethren means...
Yeah, but it's not... It's that, but the brethren are here in this case. The brethren are here as the test to see whether or not you delight yourself in the Lord. You understand that? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, you can't delight yourself in the Lord or in God when you don't believe there's a God, obviously. You can't delight yourself in God when you only hope there's God. You can't delight yourself in God when He is a third person creator. You can't delight yourself in God when you know He's Lord. You can only begin to fear Him. You can only delight yourself in God in the Logos position. And that's the meaning of the gospel. Because the Logos position for each one of you is that far away. Now that's what, if I were you, I would not be satisfied with anything less than. Now, each of you have had a different road and have a different road to get there from here. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. But the way that's manifested in you as a vessel has to do with all of your experience and genetics and environment and the whole process. And some of you may envy somebody else, but the end result of all, no matter what the genetic path or the experimental path or the environmental path to get there, the end result of all of them, and the promise of God is that you shall delight yourself in Him. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, anything else, I'm not talking about to the world. I'm not talking about the believers or Jews that are in Goshen. I'm not even talking about to the ones that are in the wilderness. I'm talking about to you to whom the inheritance has been revealed. You cannot be satisfied with anything else and anything less than delighting yourself in Him. Now, every other thing that provides you sensuality is simply a signpost to point you to that one delight. Now, I told you before, the end of faith was the walk with no doubt. But it's also the walk in delight. I love that word. Mm-hmm. It's like luscious.
Succulent.
You can't say succulent, Butch.
I thought that was okay.
You have to.
Fine word.
Ed just called me and said you can't say it anymore. Especially Butch. But it's a delight. Delight yourself in him and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, most of you overestimated your position on the walk, except Louis. Louis underestimated his position. Just the same way you underestimate always what others think about you. For some reason, you always underestimate how precious you are to other people. And that hurts me. And I know that when you said hope, I mean, I felt God's teardrops. You know better than that. But I want you to feel what it means to delight yourself in the Lord. All of you have a foretaste of what it means. We're not talking about theology. We're not talking about studying and words and meaning of words and all kinds of off-the-wall subjects that we tend to get into. We're talking about life. Anything else is death. And it's not something that's subject to environment. It's not something that's subject to whether or not you had a good day at work or a bad day at work or somebody honks at you when you're driving down the highway. It's something that springs as rivers of living water and it can't be contained. Amen? And it's something that is the end result of why you were created. Now, you know, in Harry's case, I'm convinced that most of the time you hope God exists. No, I'm talking about the way you respond to stimulus. I'm not saying what you believe.
No, that's true.
I'm talking about the way you respond to stimulus, and that's the way God sees it. You respond to stimulus as though you hope God exists. So, what I want to happen is that the external response to stimulus will be in harmony with what your mind is, what you believe, so that there'll be no contrast between lip and life. That's the same that I want for all of you. But it's like, In Barbara's case, if we could replay what you said, you used the personal pronoun I about 15 times in that little deal. Job's captivity is turned when he prayed for his friends. Your captivity is turned in the instant that I has gone from the picture. Then, I mean, how can I need to be alone? Now, let me read you something about Job. Job's friends. Job's got some fascinating friends. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee, Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. In other words, the thing that you most highly now think is precious, the gold or whatever it is, will be as commonplace as the dust. And the precious stones will be as commonplace as the pebbles in a stream. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Somehow I bet that isn't translated right. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God, and thou shalt make thy prayers unto him, and he will hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then shalt thou say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save that humble person. It means you. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. If thou turn away thy foot from doing thy pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, the only one way, the only way, you know yourself well enough by now, the only way that you can stop doing your own ways and finding your own pleasure and speaking your own words is to see that none of it was ever yours. It's as simple as that. That's what the cross means.
Stop taking credit for it.
Stop. I mean, it's so simple. It's like turning on a switch. In that instant, that's what pure repentance is, because you've abandoned yourself and seen only him. If there's something that is troubling you in past years, you look back and see that it wasn't you that it happened to. It was him that it happened to.
Last night when we were singing the one song, I've always sung the first by that verse about we were worshiping and murdering and thought, I should feel bad. You know, it's like, I thought that, you know, I should sing that kind of, you know, with a feeling of feeling bad about that. But last night I saw that,
Amen. That
it's, you know, it's gone.
This is the only, I mean, do you realize, all of you can imagine what it would be like never again to see yourself. Well, you don't have to anymore. It's him. Okay, then you can say, well, then you go through all the ridiculous things that most of you will think about, you know. Well, is Jesus masturbating? Is Jesus thinking he wants to kill this guy? Yeah, before the law. You can't ever again be separate. The Logos isn't something you attain to. It's something that was accomplished 2,000 years ago. You're not going to get there by time. You're going to get there by the cross. The cross happened. You are Christ in human form. You are the Word made flesh. The Word, the law is hid in your heart. It's impossible for you to ever be separate again. God's not going to punish his son. He's going to chastise him. But he's going to chastise you so that you won't hurt yourself. God is never again out to get you. No evil can ever befall you. It's his good pleasure to give you all things freely. You're not going to be someday renewed in mind. You are renewed in mind, and anything other than that is a lie. You aren't going to someday attain to peace. You have peace now, and anything other than that is a lie. You now delight yourself in the Lord, and anything other than that is a lie. The question is, are you going to believe your mind or believe me? You know, it's two, you can't, well, I believe the Bible. No, you don't. So that's too far away. I mean, you can get by with that one. That's the purpose of preaching. You have to, again, we've talked about this before, you have to either believe your mind or believe me. You got to face it. These issues are the issues of where you live. Am I here? Is my life in this apparent separateness and this apparent need for control and this apparent need to attain and arrive and be, is that what's real? Or is the fact that, you know, I'm an eternal child of God real? I can't be separate. Am I going to someday delight myself in the Lord when the millennium comes now? Because if you hope for the day of the Lord, if you look for the day of the Lord, that's something that means it's sometime, something that's not here yet. And it'll be that great one. It'll be as though you're running from a
lion and a bear got
you. You're running from a lion and a bear met you. You're running from a serpent and a scorpion bit you. This is the best it's going to be. You own all things. All things exist for your sakes. You do delight yourself in the Lord. He is your only life. Anything other than that is a lie. All those are lies. Because they connotate progress, comparisons. I tricked you.
Separation.
Connotate separation. I tricked you. Purposely.
No.
Do you see how simple it is? As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You want to contend with me about it? No. Because you know it's true. You forget about it in a few minutes, and then you have to be faced with this other thing. Well, do I believe my mind now, or do I believe what I just heard? Well, get down to that level. Because if you say, well, I believe the Bible, well, you know, you can get 50,000 opinions. The warfare is done. You are complete in Him. Now, if you're complete, that means you delight yourself in Him and that intimacy. That's the reality that's going on. This thing that we now know as the Antichrist has but one function, and that is to resurrect himself from the point of his death to make it appear as though he's alive, that he's wounded with a death wound, and to cause you to see everything as instead of Christ. The only reason we're studying the pyramid and the stars and the Torah and the only reason we're doing that is to show you the eternal fact that was settled at the point of creation, that Christ is your life now. Not someday. That you delight yourself in the Lord now. Why? Because He paid the price. You don't have to pay the lie of the belief in separation any longer. There's no matter how hard you try, your mind, in terms of that question I asked you, can never arrive at Logos. Because you are at Logos. And the carnal mind can never reach that point because it's enmity against God. It's meant to be. Now, at this instant, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. You will speak the decree and it shall be established. There's some other good ones.
Where was what you just read?
What?
The thing that you read before?
Job 20 something.
Close enough?
Yeah.
Job 22, 21 through 30. Sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. You didn't have your birth pains to get Christ. For more are the children of the desolate, don't pay attention to all this crap that's going on, than the children of the married, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. That's done in here. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be confounded. Thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither shall thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. That's hard for a man or someone that's not been married to understand widowhood. But that's what you've all been going through all your life. The feeling of separation is the feeling of widowhood. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, and the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, separated, alone. No matter how much the act was of social graces and putting on the dog and doing all the things, in your gut level, no matter how much you tried, you were alone. You were a widow. No matter how much act and no matter how many things that you learned to do, in the core of your being, you are alone, without hope. You tried 10 million things to give you life, and a few to give you death. You found release in none of them. The Lord hath called thee in the same way that he calls a woman forsaken, and someone that was grieved in spirit. A wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies shall I gather thee. And a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness and grace will I have mercy on thee from now on, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For as the waters of Noah, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountain shall depart, and the hill shall be removed, but my mercy shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed from thee, saith the Lord, that hath continual mercy on thee. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of precious stones and thy gates also, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. But behold, they, others, shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, for their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, where is the greatest tongue that rise against to condemn you? Well, that's kind of dumb. I mean, if it hurts to hit yourself with a hammer, stop hitting yourself with a hammer. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? You know that this is a lying thing. It can't be tamed. And this is a lying thing. It can't be. It's gone. You don't have to pay attention to it anymore.
Really dumb to keep hoping it will be tamed, isn't it?
Hey, look at me. It's never been tamed in me. Shut up.
I don't know if I needed that graphic an example.
You just don't have to. Just next time I ask you a trick question, you delight yourself in the Lord. Your warfare is complete. You heard me do this one 100 times, but it seems like it's necessary. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. All past tense. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I mean, that's an eternal fact. Why the hell you spend half your life in your mind justifying yourself? That's dumb. Who is he that condemneth? Holy. No. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died.
Your amen on
that? You're so good.
He eternally screamed amen.
You know that movie that they made for the abortionist foes.
Silent Scream.
The Silent Scream. It's when the fetus was being aborted and it shows the... That's what...
Now open so nothing comes out of it.
Who is he that condemn it? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor my mind, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, who is in me, who is my life. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Not someday, this instant. Now you shall live by his faith. Your faith is worthless.
And that's what we were responding to here.
Yeah.
Instead of the deception is that it has something to do with us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Can you feel it a little bit? I think you can see a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. It's neat. The light is good. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.
This is a good take.
Hmm?
This is a good take.
How do you know?
Because
it's a car tape.
It's a good night. Good take.
Yeah.
This is a car tape.
You can listen to it while you're driving.
Yeah.
And not running.